Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat, Chris, and Greg.
What's up?
What's up? What's up? My goodness, it is Thursday, and we are excited to be with you this morning. God is good, and we're excited. We have so many things to share with you today. We want to welcome all of our friends who are listening on VFN Radio. Thank you for downloading the app. Thank you for your comments and your likes on Facebook. Together, we are reaching the world. VFN Radio. We have so much to share with you this morning. We'd like to welcome Joseph, Raul, Ricky, John. Thank you for joining with us and liking our Facebook page and getting VFN Radio out to your friends, neighbors, and family.
Hola, Raul.
Raul.
I'm Greg Lancaster, and so excited also to be joining you guys today, celebrating the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. Yes, you're listening live to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. Light. Light of the world. Shout it from the rooftops. What I whispered in your ears in your abiding times. Shout it.
Come on.
Let them know. Let them know that I love them. I have a plan for their life. Let them know that I'm going to be victorious, that I'm going to have a bride without spot, without wrinkle. Let them know. Tell them. Jesus Christ is Lord. Yeah, you're listening to VFN Radio. God's news behind the news. Not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news. You know. Quit listening to something you don't know what to do with. Listen to VFN Radio. We'll give you a perspective by God's grace. Yeah, today we're going to be talking about by faith. We're going to be talking about some things that are taking place in the world and get a perspective of evil and what to be able to do with it. And so much more. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Joining me, as you've heard, is John.
Hello.
And Pat.
Hello, hello.
My goodness, here we are. Man, so much is going on.
I know it.
So much is going on. It's so exciting and exhilarating. You go back and you look at the history books and you read about men and women of God and you think about how they were in their season and what they did during their season. You think, man, that was just so cool. They were like, you know, men and women for the Lord, mm-hmm. and they did what they were supposed to do in the season of their life. And but you never realize that there's always a season for you too.
That's right.
You're always living in the season that God's chose for you. The very day, the time, the place, the very length of your days that are numbered by God. And he's wondering, like, what are you going to do in your season? Mm-hmm. You know, and I just want to encourage you that realize that you are the prime actor in the story of God for what God has called you to do. You have a script written in heaven on the heart of God and on your heart that he's called you to walk out and to play your part in this theater of God, that he wrote this theatrical performance of his spirit before the foundations of the earth, even talked about Megiddo and the end times and when his son would return as Lord and rule here on earth. Every part is written out. The problem, the issue is, I just want to challenge you today, is like, have you even considered that you're in the movie?
Have you
considered that, you know, that when you read the word of God, that you find yourself in there and what he's called you to do? It's not enough to know the history books. It's not enough to know what other people are doing, because like we always say, no witnesses, no suspects. You stand alone before the throne of God, which is a positive thing, because that means that you can bring glory to God yourself. You can do what he asked us to do, Jesus in John 15, when he says that we're to bring him glory, to be fruitful, much fruit, lasting fruit, fruit that lasts. And you can spend your life on focusing on that very, very thing. And so I want to encourage, just while we're here, to encourage you. We're here understanding that, wow, we would have loved a journey and a season in our life to have VFN Radio.
I know, that's right.
And that'd be great.
Jeez.
The 24-hour news cycle without God's perspective is not good.
No, it isn't.
You know, it's like 24 hours of deep depression and sadness.
Lots of Prozac.
Yeah, lots of Prozac.
And worse, don't listen to it before you go to bed. My goodness.
Yeah, right. All right. And so, you know, with that, understand that that's why we're here. That is why we're here.
Yes. You know, guys, I don't know if you knew this. We talked about this before, about Billy Graham and his last crusade at age 94. Well, I have an update for you right now. The Billy Graham Evangelical Association, they're saying that now 12,000 churches in North America are joining this outreach. Mm-hmm. And they have 6 months until the outreach, which is in November. And I just love how, you know, Billy Graham and Reverend Billy Graham and his organization, how purposeful and intentional they are about preaching the gospel and making sure that every single person has a chance to come to the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, this is what's all about. The director, Bill Conrad, he's the executive director. He's been working with all sorts of teams, and they have teams spread all across the country. And they're working with pastors and all different types of congregations.
If you want to be a part of this, how can you be a part of it?
Well, we're going to make sure that there's a link on the torch to the campaign is called Hope, My Hope. And we're going to have that on the torch for you. Be sure that you look out for it, because you really want to participate if you can. They're really working hard, and this is what they're emphasizing. They're emphasizing that you have strong interpersonal relationships. Right now, the largest outreach and the most participation is coming out of the Northeast, which is very refreshing.
Oh, wow.
And they're encouraging, listen, build relationships with people. Build relationships. And the organizers of My Hope, they call these the Christians that are actually participating and signed up to be a part of this, they're calling them Matthews, in reference to the disciple Matthew, who invited friends to hear Jesus speak. And so this all culminates in November, where they'll have a chance to maybe take someone, a friend, a family member, for a cup of coffee, or invite them into their home, or maybe in their congregations, but to build personal relationship where they have the opportunity to play a 30-minute video.
Oh, wow.
With Reverend Billy Graham, some testimonies. They share their own testimony, and then they invite that person that they're talking to, they're sharing with, that they've friended, to come to the Lord.
Oh, wow.
And it's powerful because, you know, people don't care how much you know, who you know, what you do, until they know that you care.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much nicer and better when we're just reach out to our friends. Look for friends, you know, and meet friends and meet people and get to know them and care about them. And you'll be surprised. You'll really be surprised how people's hearts are opened. And once they see the fruit in your life and they see what God's done in your life, they're saying, you know, wait a minute, you know, what do you have that I don't have? Who do you know that I don't know?
But they say the greatest church retention, the believer retention, reason why somebody stays in a gathering of believers, a church gathering, is because there's somebody they know there.
Yes.
A personal relationship there. And which just goes to say that if there is no relationship, I'm sure that's one of the reasons why. And it's good because it's the family of God.
Yeah.
Father God, elder brother, and King Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Brothers and sisters in the Lord, they know that you're my disciple by the love you have for each other, not by how much you prophesy, but how much you listen and that you care about my life and my family and my occupation. And there's one thing I know that we focus on.
Yeah.
Is that when somebody comes in one of our fellowships, I mean, we're intensely seeing how we can help them.
That's right.
You know, it's the old scenario where the thorn is in the tiger's foot and you pull the thorn out and he's just your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what it is like, it's not a, it just shows them that you're committed to them.
Sure.
And Jesus said it shows that you love him when you love them, when we love each other. And it shows the world that we love each other. And if you're not concerned about my state, you know, how I actually are going to have dinner tonight or have a job and or a home or a place to live, and these are people that actually listen, you know, to what's going on. And we focus on that. And God just really, let me tell you, if you change your perspective, this is what we're seeing in our presence, what God is doing. We're just seeing the Lord manifest himself and be who he is in the midst of his church. Everything he says he is. And because of that care and that concern, God just brings job opportunities and living opportunities and transportation opportunities. And we're seeing people, you know, get jobs more than I've ever seen before.
Yeah. So
some of the worst times of economy. I know that the head of the Federal Reserve was just testifying yesterday saying that if the feds don't stay involved, the economy's going to crash, jobs are still weak, all this type of stuff. But, you know, in the kingdom of God, we're just seeing promotion and raises, and where people are losing their houses, we're seeing because they love God, because they abide with God, because they connected and related and listened to what God was saying to them, and they said, here I am, God, I'm yours. God just totally gives them houses, gives us new houses when everybody else is losing them.
Yeah.
Jobs with promotions. I know this one particular lady that she thought that she could not even... She's been out of the workforce for quite some time, and God was speaking to her about going back to the workforce. And God just opened the door for her to be able to have a good job in her area, a real good job that takes care of you. You work hard, they pay you hard. And within 9 months, she's given a $4,500 pay raise during this economy.
Wow.
$4,500.
Wow.
There's been other situations where I've seen, you know, through a word of knowledge where a particular meeting's going on and God just speaks over a situation before that meeting takes place. And the word of knowledge, the word of the Lord just comes back to you the way it does at that one moment. This is that. And then God moves. And not only does God give a job to a person, but he promotes them rapidly to places of influence that helps others get jobs and then gives the person a $30,000, $20,000 pay raise.
Wow.
And it's all God. Nobody takes any credit for it. And of course, we do. We find out who that is because the one that loses their thing next, right?
That's right.
Absolutely.
Right. It's God.
There's no pride here, right?
None.
You sure?
Well.
Search me.
The Lord reveals it to me.
There it is. No. There it was. And we're just seeing this. Listen, God is real. And God will meet your needs. And understand what's coming on America right now is the consequences of turning from God. But understand this, turning back to him, he rewards that. That's what he wants.
Yeah.
That's what he wants. And read Hosea chapter 2 to understand how the heart of God, if you understand too that it's love, God loves you. And the enemy's really messed love up. You know, a lot of people say, you know, I love you to someone or something, but they're looking at what they get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But God is committed to you because of who he is, and he means what he says. And he can do everything, but he's committed to you. And understanding that and getting past all the horizontal mess-ups of love that you've had in your life, and maybe that you just inherited from whoever, that that's not how God is. God loves you because he's God. And his love is authentic and genuine, and he just wants you to love him back. And when you turn back to him, you know, you hear this repentance going, you know, I'm leaving all these other lovers in the world, other things I look to love me, like my job and money and property and things and whatever, people, that when you do that, he just says, that's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. I just wanted your love. And all of a sudden, you start seeing these things take place, and God starts rewarding you. He begins to restore them one by one. So you say, so no longer do you call him your boss, but you call him, or the man upstairs.
Or your co-pilot.
Or your, oh my goodness. And, but you call him, you know, my lover, the one, you know, my husband, the one that holds me together. And he's awesome. And I just want to encourage you and remind you that God's deeply in love with you. It doesn't matter what's happening in the economies of the world, as long as you're faithful in the economies of God. And the economies of God has to do with honoring him with your first fruits, honoring him with your first of your day, spending your first part of your day in an abiding relationship with him, not religiously, but relationally. And if you want to know how to do that, we have a simple plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's iabide.org. And we just share with you a simple way to be able to do that. And just watch what God does. Watch him show himself mighty.
Yeah.
You know, believe, you know, God rewards faith, expectation. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When you're abiding with him and you're honoring him, raise your expectancy level. raise it up in such a way that you are totally convinced by confident, bold faith that rewards are coming your way. You're not earning them, but it's just, he's just good. He's just, and he rewards those who diligently seek him.
That's right.
And that's what you're doing. When you honor him with the first fruits, when you honor him with you and your abiding relationship with him, then he says, you know, you're going to just be fruitful. Things are going to happen and just blessings overtake you. Blessings that you can't even contain. And you'll be a sign. You'll be a wonder to those who presently have not yet made this decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. They'll look at you and say, what is it? And you'll be able to say, it's God.
Yeah.
It's just God. Mm-hmm. It's just God. I mean, don't be giving them some breakdown like you did something.
That's right.
Well, it's because I was so good and so talented. It's like, who gave you those talents?
Exactly.
Well, it's because
we've been around this block. Right. I mean, we've taken this course here.
right. And so it's just like he's the one that gives these talents to us. We invest them. We get a return on them. And it's because he's blessing the work of our hand. He's blessing us. He's just good. Mm-hmm. Remember, he created everything in the beginning in the garden for us just to hang out with him and eat fruit and just have a great relationship. But then sin came, and that's when this, you know, the sweat of your brow and the pain in childbirth and, you know, all this sin nature began to happen. But prior to that, it was like, let's just hang out. You roll down there and I'll roll up here. And
that's right.
This is just gonna how it's gonna be. And so understand that. So we move back into that Eden experience when God's just taking care of us. The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous, that those who please God, the ones who don't please God are storing up wealth for the ones who please God. That's what he says in Ecclesiastes, I think, 2:20. And you could say, well, I got to get busy, store up stuff. No, just please God. And the ones that are storing up stuff, not serving God, it's going to be transferred.
It's
over.
Yeah,
it's like transference of wealth coming. Beep, beep, beep. Truck's backing up. And if you believe this, you know, because you have to first believe. I mean, imagine your five-year-old kid pacing back and forth in the house, biting, you know, her fingernails going, I just don't know. How are we going to make it? And that's what we look like when we're pacing the floor with God. Mm. And it's like, you're a five-year-old kid. What do you know? I'm giving you the air so you can express your doubt that I'm not going to take care of you tomorrow. It just looks foolish. Besides, save your fingernails. It looks kind of childish to be biting on your fingernails and toenails. Did you know that? Somebody actually bit on. I'm like, how in the world did you get it there? Anyway.
Ooh, contortionist.
Gosh, it's kind of nasty, isn't it?
That sounds foul.
I said, no, Pat, knock it off. I said,
stop trying to impress us, okay?
Slap your mama hot sauce, right? Oh, slap your mama hot sauce.
Wow. I had a mental picture of that.
Did you? Well, you gotta understand, when I talk about things, I don't have mental pictures, but I realize a lot of people do. So
how do you do?
If I was seeing that, I probably wouldn't have said
wish
it.
I could do that.
Yeah.
Never mind. Just turn that thing off.
If you're having a mental picture, realize I never had a mental picture of it. This is all, you know, verbiage. And so, but now you brought up mental picture, I'm like sad that I brought that up. Besides, he's so bulky and worked out so much, he can't even scratch his back.
I don't know how he does that.
He passes, you know,
right? Biceps and triceps and mighty seps. I don't know. I can't even list them all.
He's holding up break. I think we're supposed to go to break. What do you think? We'll be right back.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at vfntv.com.
Can a student in a public school give a Bible to another student? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
In high school, if other vendors are sitting up tables promoting certain things for kids, can you also set up a table to hand out Bibles? And the other question is, can a Christian child going to a high school hand out a Bible as a gift without any problem?
Those are both great questions, and Glenn, with regard to student-on-student distribution of religious literature, of giving away a Bible, they absolutely have the right to do that. The Supreme Court in 1969 said students do not shed the right to freedom of speech at the schoolhouse gate. That includes distributing religious literature or a Bible. I think the best way to do this is student-on-student distribution. The Bible Club may be having an outreach. I think that's the best way to approach it. With regard to the table setups, you'd have to argue that the school has established a limited public forum, which would allow for the distribution of religious literature by outside groups.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
I want to continue talking about the kingdom of God
He says, when you're born again, the very first thing you do is seek first the kingdom of God. You know, and that's the king's dominion in your life, taking over parts of your life. And then when he tells you us to go out, he tells us all to go out. It's not, you don't pray if you should go. You need to pray if you should stay. And by the way, I can tell you what he's probably going to say right now.
Yeah.
Because he had, think about it. He allowed the church, the original church, the original intent of God in Jerusalem, because we have a tendency. We all have a tendency as human beings. Mm-hmm. We just kind of gravitate towards comfort and convenience and predictability and what makes our flesh feel good. Mm-hmm. And the church is kind of hung around in Jerusalem. You know, they hung around in Jerusalem. It's like, well, the goal, the original intent of Jesus is to go out into all the world. You know, Jerusalem, Judea. Hello, is somebody talking about Judea, right? I don't like Judea out there. I like Jerusalem. Yeah, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. And so in that, you know, they just kept staying. And so God allowed persecution to come to the church. And how you know it, he allowed it is because they ran the church off, but for some reason, they didn't run the apostles off. So the apostles still stayed in Jerusalem. If you're going to try to stop a nation, if you're going to try to stop something, you're going to go for the leadership. But the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. And remember when Paul went back, he went back to the Christian Jews in Jerusalem and asked for wisdom about what's happening out in the outskirts and what was going on in the Samaria and the uttermost parts. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, they had to be persecuted, Pat. Mm-hmm. They had to be persecuted to go out. I mean, that's how much God's into going out and spreading his kingdom. He says that when you go, when I send you out, I want you to preach the kingdom of God and preach that the kingdom is near you. And when they receive Jesus as their king, as their Lord, as their Savior, and they say, I want him to be the Lord of my life, then at that point, the kingdom has expanded. It didn't expand when you built a wing on your building. It didn't expand when you actually got a new staff member. Mm-hmm. It didn't expand when, you know, you read more scripture that day. It expanded when you told somebody about the king, and they said, oh my goodness, and they say, I know, and they receive him, and then the kingdom expanded from your heart to their heart, and now both of you guys are carrying the kingdom of God. We're like kingdom containers. Mm-hmm. That's the original intent. The original intent is for everybody to hear, everybody to be given an opportunity to receive the king and his kingdom and to begin to seek his kingdom. And then we're out of here because our king is coming back, King of kings and Lord of lords. And we're going to live with him forever. And if you're thinking it's about a building, if you're thinking it's about a stuff or the next song or your talent, you know, or your gift, listen, it's about you going to tell somebody about this King Jesus, that he loves them and he has a plan for their life and that he can forgive them and he can restore them and that there's hope. And understanding that you need to seek his ways. And I'm going to encourage you, even though that you've been around, you know, the church for many years, you know, you've been around other believers, you may need to go back and find out the original intent. You need to get discipled. Right. You need to get discipled. You need to begin to abide with God. And you can do that. You can go to iAbide and request a free plan. We have a simple plan for you. If you don't have one already, go to iAbide.org. and request it. Immediately, it will come to you. And we have some basic foundational tools for you. First of all, you can just start hanging out with God and abiding. We have even a video how to do it, you know, real simple. But then there's also discipleship. There's some Foundations of Faith booklets that you can get that begins to build. Because you've been around for a long time, you think you're supposed to know something. But there's people that graduated from high school that couldn't even read. Mm-hmm. So just because they went to high school don't mean they have an education. Just because you've been hanging around the church doesn't mean you've been discipled. And we're finding out over the years that people have hung around for years but don't even know the basic Jesus as Lord. Mm-hmm. And so be willing to say, you know what? I'm going to go back and get the foundation again because I have not even thought about going out and advancing the kingdom of God. I never thought about rightly relating that I am the church and that I need to go be the church and that the word of God applies to me and not just to a building organization or that type of thing. So I want to encourage you, the kingdom of God, looking at the original intent of the church.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is John Ramos and Pat Hamilton. If you missed the first part of the hour, you need to hear it. God's perspective. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. Listen, it is good. His thoughts towards you are good, and he's just looking for us to turn to him and walk and abide with him. Yeah, we talk about the original intent of the church. We talk about the original intent of the nation, two things we definitely want to get back to. And we're doing this, and we're just having this whole thing. If you were with us since the beginning of VFN Radio, what was said and what still is. We're just having a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all know in part, we all prophesy in part. And if you listen continually, you'll hear us go, I don't know what that was last week, but God's saying this is the direction that we're going.
Exactly.
And look for the line of debarkations where you go, well, okay, that's what we knew at that time, but now we know this, and we know in part and prophesy in part. But the original intent of the nation, you know, we've been, I guess, about a year at this intensity with VFN Radio focusing on the original intent of the nation. And it's so cool to watch people are now bringing it up, and they're beginning to talk about it, and they quit teaching it in schools. You think about it, I'm realizing, you know, obviously we took the citizenship test.
Right.
Mm. Now, I mean, here's the question, like right now, John.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What year was?
Oh, great. Great. He's searching. Wait a minute. Yeah. Oh, here we go.
What year was the Declaration of Independence drafted?
1774.
Oh.
You faked me out?
Yeah.
What was it, Pat?
1776.
I don't know who's running the sounds back there, Chris. Right, let's get you 1776.
Hey.
But this is the big.
Oh, I got that right.
No.
No, you said 74. You're like 1974 or something.
You said 74.
Who said 76?
Can y'all please write John, let him know he got it wrong? Anyway, let's move on. We have a limited amount of time here. I mean, I don't even know where that came from. No, so this is the big one, though. This is one that gets us because we don't really, you know, that didn't, just because you write a letter to the king going, hey, here's 27 reasons why we don't love you anymore.
Right.
You know, and we feel that God is, we're just forced by God to do what's right before men. And if you read, that's what it basically is saying. Our rights come from God, not king. And so with that, they had to have a constitutional convention. So this is the biggie. When was the Constitution signed? Because most people just go, oh, it's 1776. And it's like, no, that was the letter going, letting all your secrets out, going, we're not under you more, king.
Right. Yeah, we want a divorce.
Yeah, that's not going to, that is not going to happen. You know, you're not going to have it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So when was it?
Pat,
you are so kind. It's like gesturing. How about you?
Pat,
like those two cartoon squirrels. No, after you. Well, I believe it was 12 years. I believe it was.
Was it?
It was 1776. So 10 years after that would be what?
1888.
And it would be 12 years. It's 87. I believe it's 1787.
Oh, 17.
Yeah, 17. I know.
Oops.
Yeah, wasn't that?
I know. I didn't sound right.
1987. No, okay, get back.
Weren't the New Orleans Saints playing around that time? Around 2nd Street. But 1787. So they went all that time without a constitution.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Over 100 years.
Yeah, and they had some different things they put together and all. But so when they signed, they thought this thing through. I mean, they did a lot before they got to the point of the Declaration of Independence, because I hear our secrets are out. We're going to have to fight for this thing now.
Right. They didn't scratch it on a napkin or nothing like that real quick and turned it in or nothing.
No, and they didn't write one thing and mail letters out that says something different because their heads depended on their. If they lost this battle, they were going to lose their heads.
Right.
And so in 1787, which is what, 12 years later?
11 years.
11 years. Is it? It's 11 years? It's 11 years later. Just want to verify that with the research team. Calculator wouldn't work, would it? So in that, then they went, 11 years not having a firm constitution. So think about it. This constitution is so important. It came after our declaration of I'm begun to live my life independent of you.
Mm-hmm.
We celebrate that, which means you look at it, and God called America out at that time and began to establish it because Christians were coming. The kingdom came first, and America came second. And understanding that is then the wisdom of God. There comes a time when it's like, hey, this thing can't be connected to that thing anymore if we're going to be the thing God's called us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. And the church just got all whacked out. in England and what was happening with the king, and they took over. It's time to just begin again. And so when they wrote, you go back and you can listen to the VFN Torch or on your app to the preamble of the Constitution, original intent, whole category segment that you can listen to. And we're not going to talk about that again, but it'll just set things into perspective why they actually have the Constitution. But I want to talk about empathy. I want to talk about empathy because there doesn't appear to be a lot of empathy in the church today. And understand, we serve a God who empathizes with our weaknesses. We serve a God who he fills our infirmity. I think about in Hebrews, I believe 4:15-16, possibly, when he says, we don't have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, yet without sin. So let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so we may receive mercy and grace in our time of need. Mm-hmm. And so God is about empathy. He's about, fill me, understand my pathway. And part of healing me is hearing me. And today, and I understand what you're saying when you say, just rubber stamping, we need to go back to the original intent, and we say it ourselves. But you have to understand it's all of us having to digest this. Mm-hmm. And there's a part of us that when the Constitution was written, for whatever arguments and whatever reasons, and there was part of, Congress that said, that it needs to be this way, but they gave in to the wrong way, and we went for a long time of slavery in our country where African Americans were considered property and not human beings.
Right.
And so when you start talking about the First Amendment, you have to understand that First Amendment came way before the 14th Amendment. Mm. And if you don't know what the 14th Amendment is, you need to pause and think a little bit, because the 14th Amendment is what, when everybody became equal in our nation under the Constitution, not under state laws, but under the Constitution, where it was written in there. Which means this: you can talk all you want to about the first and the second and the third, but the way that this country's lived their life up to this point, I didn't fit in there.
Yeah.
So if you can relate to me, if you can empathize with me, you said that the government shall make no laws concerning the church, but the church justified slavery in America and oppressed my great, 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 great grandmother and grandfather, and said that they were not human beings and didn't, pay them for their labors, which built a lot of this country. I was on a sabbatical at the beginning of this year, and God just began just to show me our history. And the more you look at America, we only stand by grace, not by our own righteousness. And America exists because God is good. Not because any American did anything that in a certain way other than turning to God and crying out to God and seeking God's wisdom. But in that, I remember that he just began to show me and speak to me about the history of our nation. And he led me to go to a local bookstore that was in the area that the city that I was in, taking that sabbatical, which by the way means spending time away with God, just hearing him and just being. And he took me to an accountant's register of America. Mm. I have it in my library. It still needs to be unpacked, I'm sure. Yeah. But there were ledgers. Wow. Ledgers. And I'm not going to get the numbers right, and I'll talk about this in the future, but understand the significance of the distance of the numbers. And the ledgers, in these ledgers, and ledger, by the way, is something outside of apps and programs. It was a book that you wrote down. Debits and credits. You wrote down if you sold something, if you go to the bank, they'd write down how much money you deposit with a pencil.
It was an old school Excel spreadsheet probably, right?
Yeah, something. They excelled at writing it with a pencil and their bifocals, which is the majority of American history right now. And so in that, one of the entries into different states now, I'm talking about different states, John. Mm. I'm not talking about America as a whole. Each individual state has we have our own sins in our states.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And certain states own more slaves than others. And some states that boast about not having a lot of slave labor in their states, they sold slaves to the other states.
Oh, wow.
But the biggest thing was that God was revealing to me that Great Britain and England, which we came from, right? Mm-hmm. That's where America, original founder fathers came from. that that they were the biggest consumers of cotton in the world at that particular time. And cotton was selling, I think, maybe around 60 cents a ton or something of that nature. And I don't know how, I'll bring all this out in the future. But I'm trying to get you to connect to why I don't just jump on your Constitution bandwagon.
Right.
And all of a sudden, then America started legitimizing slavery, which started under it started under England, and it was imported. The whole concept was imported, and it started off with indentured, where people gave themselves into slavery to be able to pay for my trip to America, and I would serve you for 7 years, and then I would be free. And a lot of history into all that. And then there was the oppression of slavery, where people were taken from their homeland, sold by their own brothers into slavery. And it's the love of money is the root to all evil. And so then it was like 60 cents a ton for cotton. And so they're, you know, Great Britain's making all these fabrics and all these things are going on. Well, when America got a hold of that, and primarily in the you know, Tennessee and below, those states got a hold of that. Well, the southern states, we'll just say that, not necessarily Tennessee and below. They took over the cotton market of the world. Mm. And I think they took over 90% of it. Mm. And it went down to like 11 cents a ton. But let me tell you why it was 11 cents a ton. It was done on slave labor. It was done on our brothers and sisters' backs. Mm. It was done on the man that you make light of that's having difficulty in just jumping in this whole conversation without you empathizing with the reality of the history of our nation. You have to pause for a moment and realize that the reason why we took over the cotton market, because we had free labor, oppressed people that farmed the cotton that we bailed up and we shipped over to England, who was oppressing us originally in the beginning of this time. And we said we didn't want that oppression. Then again, as men always do, they oppress someone else.
Mm. Right.
Wow.
And I was shocked. I was looking at all this devastation in the history of our nation. And that's why they separated Black history from history. And it's like, in school, you need to be teaching all of history, every bit of it, the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything, so we can understand ourselves. Mm-hmm. But if I got to take a whole nother class at the university, if I got to take a whole nother class in my high school just to find out what my lineage, my heritage is, mm-hmm. then, wow. Hey, I'm not equal. You know, you're denying the reality of your father's history. And so it's all of us together. And when you start owning this, then you can say, these are our founding fathers. But if you keep it separate, then it's not our founding fathers. That's what your perspective of it. And I wasn't until the 14th Amendment till I was even recognizing this thing. Mm. And then it was still a journey. And so empathy, think about empathy, because we need, if America's going to be saved, this, you know, it sends dreams from my father, is that we have our leader that wrote a book called Dreams from My Father. Well, this is resounding through America right now. Sins of our fathers. Mm. And that this is what God says. He says, if you turn away from me, if you choose to sin and live a life away from me, then not only will your good deeds be forgotten and your sin be held against you, but your father's sins will be held against you. And let me tell you something. If you haven't looked all the way back to Adam, how bad this thing's been, if you haven't looked back to the beginning of 1776 and 1787 and the constitutional arguments, like you're debating the fact whether my mother is a human being or not. Mm. She's one fifth of a person, and you're going to do. And so in the context of that if we're really going to be like Jesus, WWJD, we're going to empathize and we're going to humble ourselves and realize outside of Jesus Christ, this is not going to happen. And he makes the two one at the cross. We're going to continue this conversation talking about the 14th Amendment. Remember, if you didn't count me into number 14, you got to give me a chance to, you got to explain what happened between 1 and 13.
Catch up here.
Yes.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
You know, it's exciting, you know, Greg. you know, when I first gave my life to the Lord, I was so pumped about wanting to know more about Him and giving my life to Him. So I remember I just graduated, spent all this money in student loans, and I got my first real professional job, you know.
Wow.
And
what was your degree in? What was your degree in?
Criminal justice.
Criminal justice. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Is that funny?
Well, you know, coming from 10 years of law enforcement just makes me think about it.
Well, you know, so I just get my real professional job. I'm working for the Department of Juvenile Justice, and I hadn't even been there 6 months, but God is just doing such an amazing work in my life, and I'm willing to just leave my job, and I wind up going to a Bible college, go back to school.
Yeah.
And
after
so,
4 years of getting a degree, you're going to go back to school.
Right.
Wow.
And so I wanted to prepare myself, you know, and I thought, I didn't even think that God could use me. You know, I thought, you know, I'm going to be a Christian for a long time. I just want to, you know, know more about God, you know.
Totally know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so I didn't even think, you know, I was going to be used or do anything for Him. And so I said, you know, this is a good idea. This is a good idea. So I go to school and I get all this education, and I'm hearing every week it appeared, you know, we're going to go to China and we're going to go to India and we're going to take Africa. And I'm thinking, who's going to take me?
Because as a believer, you have so many personal struggles and you want to be able to find out how to get past that. You know, how do I help me from me, right?
You tell me about it, right? So, you know, what was encouraging is to now to finish that and to be graduated. You know, it's so amazing what VFN University is all about and how we can equip people that are hungry, believers that want to do something for God and not get lost in theological references and but you can grow as a person. You
4-inch books.
Say it again.
4-inch books, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, goodness, trying to study Hebrew and you can't get out of Genesis. You know what I mean? It's like, what?
Yeah.
Really talking about Ezekiel right now? You know what I mean? They're like, you know, I love when Mark Twain
says, can you help me turn my head right now?
Exactly.
I turn the pages.
I thought Mark Twain said, I hope I'm saying it correctly, but he says, not the scriptures that I don't understand that give me the biggest problems, it's the scriptures I do understand, you know? And
yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
let's start individually here. Let's work on our own growth and walk with the Lord. And so VFNU is a fresh perspective where a student is not, it's not about what you can do for God. It's about what God can do through you.
Right.
You know, and through a personal abiding relationship. So, you know, if you're out there and you're saying, you know, I've got all this education and I know all this stuff, but it's just not connecting. I need more myself. I'll tell you, you know, VFNU is for you. You can reach us at vfnuniversity.org and reach out and explore the opportunities because you're more important to the Lord than what you can do for Him, but He does want to use you.
Yeah, that's what's so important, and the fact is that we first have to minister from the overflow of our personal relationship with Him. So we start learning all this knowledge without knowing how much He loves us, and that we're in His family, and we're working from a place of success, not for success.
Absolutely,
it's just so much safer, you know.
Sure. And out of relationship is a whole lot better than out of your head knowledge. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know it. Totally know it. Well, more at vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us and we together at VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to vfntv.com and click on giving. vfntv.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We are talking about the original intent
of the nation. And as Christians, we need to get a perspective of the empathy that comes from God through his son. He so empathized with us that he sent his own son to die for us, to walk as we walk. He understood the answer, but he was going to find out more about the question by having a son that walked like we walk, in human form like we walk, and be tempted in every way like we're tempted, yet without sin. And empathy, you know, part of healing me is understanding me. And, you know, it's amazing the one-sidedness of human nature. And we're talking about the Constitution, and understand this, and we're talking, you can pick it up, you know, where we were last time by listening to the previous segment. But we talk about the First Amendment so quickly. We talk about the Second Amendment. But listen, it wasn't until the 14th Amendment. If I'm an African American, it wasn't until the 14th Amendment till I was even considered part of the First Amendment or the Second Amendment or the Third Amendment, that type of situation. And so you got to give me a moment to digest this reality. And I'm saying this for several reasons. One is the original intent. Another is a lot of people criticize certain people groups that are turning to the federal government for assistance to be able to help out with the present situation. It's like, hello, it was the federal government that decided that I'm a human being and I deserve all the rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And it wasn't the states. And so when you talk about, we need to go back to the states' rights and that type of thing, which if we can empathize and we can humble ourselves and we put things in our state constitutions that guarantee equal rights the way that the U.S. Constitution is, then understand, and you can understand my story, then there's more hope for this thing working out. But if you just shut down and say, you know, just get over it,
right,
you know, or, you know, whatever, you don't talk about, listen, no matter, you keep on bringing up the First Amendment, but it wasn't until the 14th that I could even talk to you about the First. And because what happened in the 14th Amendment was, despite everything, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation, all the things that are, that have been done at that point, there still needed to be a constitutional amendment that said, nailed it plain as day, that everybody in this country, including the people who are born in this country, if you're born in this country, then you have equal rights, a life of liberty, pursuit of happiness, and all those wonderful things.
Liberty.
And understanding that you can empathize with somebody then if they're saying, you know, I turn to federal government because federal government is the one that actually
recognizes.
And somebody says, well, how come you want a federal job? It's like, because it was the feds. It was this national thing. When it got local state type government, because prior to that, even though people, now, then you're looking at the 14th Amendment. So the United States said everybody is a citizen. If you're in this country and if you're born in this country, it means if you were an alien even, and you came in this country, but you had a child while you were here, that child, the day that child was born, it was considered, it is considered an American citizen. There's no other country other than Canada in the world that's like that.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And so, which goes to show why this doctor was charged with murder out of Pennsylvania, because that was many, but he got convicted of three American citizens that he killed, those children, those babies that were born constitutionally, according to the Fourth Amendment,
they had rights.
Were citizens. He murdered American citizens, and so they had all the rights that were due them. And so, and we're talking about empathy here, understand that just because the federal government has made a statement and voted in a constitution that this is how it's going to be, states were still and are still the ones that determine who's going to vote, what's the regulations for voting, you know, the rights and the laws and the courts, the local state laws are set up that way. So they could do whatever they wanted to do. And what they started doing is, okay, despite the federal government and the Constitution saying that everyone's created equal, we're all the same, they said, you know, we're going to begin to segregate, we're going to begin to oppress, we're going to begin to put poll taxes on for voting booths. And they started, state-wise, individual states started repressing African Americans and people of color. And the same thing that was happening years back is continuing to happen through the state laws. So even though the 14th Amendment, they still did not have the recognition, even at the 14th Amendment, as equal, mm-hmm. in the eyes of everyone, in the eyes of the state laws.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to pass another amendment, the 15th Amendment. And the 15th Amendment basically said that it took precedence over any state law that would try to treat anybody as not equal. And so it's amazing. It's amazing, you know, that, and, you know, I mean, obviously we are, you know, constitutionally ignorant, right?
Pretty much.
Ignorant. But we're striving to get more knowledgeable. And that's why we have the original intent. And we're going to have this conversation with you so that we together will begin to go, you know what? We just got to admit it. You know, we just lived in a land that allowed us to be ignorant of the very founding realities and the history of our country. And, but you understand, if history was beating on me,
right.
I know history better than you do.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's yeah. right. You know, you didn't have to pay attention because you weren't the one being beat. You weren't the one being sold. You weren't the one being mistreated. And so then in the context of that, that people go, you know, what's the big deal? You know, that's all been done with. Listen, it wasn't until 1968.
Mm.
1968. We're talking about, I don't know, 95% of our country's existence, maybe like 90-something percent. I don't have these numbers, like I said. I'll bring them up in the future. But think about it. Just think about it. Say 80% of your entire existence as a nation, me and my family was oppressed.
Mm.
I don't think, you know, let me catch my breath. You just beat the stew out of me.
Just got right. your foot off my throat.
You know, though on the outside, you dealt with some things. I can tell when I pass you, you haven't dealt with those things on the inside of you.
Mm.
And it wasn't until 1968 to LBJ, you know, President Johnson signed that after Dr. King's death, you know, he signed into law the civil rights laws that was going on. And I'm saying this because of the blatant disregard for the reality of who we are as Christians. We're supposed to empathize. We're not supposed to just say, get over things. You can't just get over it. I mean, today Israel has museums to make sure they don't forget
right.
what happened in the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to remember our history. We need to remember where we came from. And how you know if you're over it or not is when you can accept people that once were oppressed as those who are leading you, and it has nothing to do with anything, with the color of their skin. You judge a man based off the content of his or her character is what Dr. King says. And that's how you know when you're over it. And America, there's still a vein of things that needs to get over. And if you never talk about where you came from, if you never talk about this reality, if you never talk about the economic wealth that this country gained on the backs of African Americans who were taken out of their families and sold into slavery and bartered like cotton itself to farm cotton to be able to take it from approximately 60 cents a ton to 11 cents a ton off their free labor that built the South, that built the wealth and the economy of what's going on, then you're not yet talking about anything yet. You're not talking about anything yet. And I really sense, you know, this is what I feel in my spirit, and we're coming to an end about this, and we'll continue talking about it, and realize women didn't get a chance to vote until the 19th Amendment.
That's right.
Mm.
And 18-year-olds didn't get a chance even later on. But in the context of this is that America, I really believe that God's about to bring justice. He's bringing justice to this nation. And his justice would not have happened if we would have humbled ourselves and acted Christ-like and walked faithfully before God. But now we chose to go the route that we go. We're fixing to see the scales balance. Let them balance, let the books balance, and let's just watch the goodness of God in the land of the living.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those that are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. come follow me. Come follow me. That's what Jesus said. He said, come follow me. What does that mean? It means to be a disciple. It means to follow him. Listen to Francis Chan as he talks about the reality of today's church, and we have to begin to change ourselves and begin to follow him. I'll tell you more about it after Francis. Listen up.
You know, it's just so strange to me what we do in church sometimes with the commands of God. When you were a kid, remember playing Simon Says, you know, or Follow the Leader. Remember Follow the Leader? Some of you that are younger never played it because you can't get the app on your iPhone. But it was something physical. We used to go out and play, you know. We used to move. And you remember Follow the Leader, you know. Leader jumps, you jump, you know. Or Simon says, pat your head, and you pat your head. It's so weird how in the church we change everything. In the church, you know, follow Jesus has become a different game where in following Jesus, you don't actually have to do what he does. You just have to study it. Jesus Says is completely different from Simon Says. If Jesus says something, you just have to memorize it or study it. What about making disciples? What about actually becoming like Jesus? Man, I've got four kids, and if I asked one of my kids, if I told my oldest daughter, hey, Rachel, go clean your room. And what if she comes back to me, you know, an hour later and goes, Dad, I memorized what you said. I can quote it verbatim. In fact, I can say it in the Greek now. She knows I'm not going to go, oh, that's awesome, baby. Or if she says, Dad, I had a bunch of friends over and we did a little study on what it would look like if we cleaned my room. Here's all the notes. It's going to be a 5-week study. You guys, she knows that doesn't fly with me. You guys, why were these commands given? Was it for us to memorize and study and on and on and on and just study them to death? And then at the end of our lives, we're going to go, God's going to say, wait, I asked you to make disciples. I asked you to baptize. How many people did you lead to the Lord? How many people did you teach to obey everything I could? Because that's what I asked you to do while you were on that earth.
Just think about it. You think about it. Although it's kind of funny, it's kind of true, isn't it? Jesus said this. He said in Matthew 7, 22-23, he said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Then he'll say, and he'll tell them plainly, he says, I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Listen, we have to know him. We're supposed to follow him. We're supposed to abide with him. Apart from abiding him, it's impossible to do what's required of us and expected of us. But I'm telling you, it's nothing like it. Listen, we have a plan for you, a simple abiding plan. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your free plan today. That's at iabide.org.
Wow, at BFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com. Click podcasts.